Good evening. Welcome to the Thursday night shiur for Parshas Va'era. In this week's Sedra Parshas Va'era, we read about the first seven of the ten makas, the last of which in this Sedra is the makah of Borod. And at the end of the Sedra, in the first source in Parak Tes of Shmuel, starting in Pasuk of Zion, here Paro calls Moshe and Aaron, and he says in that Pasuk, Chotosi Apam Hashem Atzarik Vaniba Mi Arishoyim, he admits wrongdoing and so on. And he asks Moshe and Aaron, Chavchez, Hatir El Hashem, please pray to your God, Rav Mios Kolos Elokim Uborah, enough of these sounds of thunder and all kinds of things should stop, and the Barad should come down. I'll let you go. I'll let you people go. You won't stay here anymore. So Moshe responds in Parak Tes, Pasuk Chavtes, his third line in Source 1. Barad of Moshe, Kitzesius Oira, when as soon as I go out of the town, Ephros es kapai el Hashem, I will stretch out my hands, I'll lift up my hands towards God, and Akolos Yechdon, all these thunderous noises will stop. Barad lo yeod, and to stop hailing, L'man teda ki L'Hashem Aretz. And a few psukim later, in Pasuk Lam and Gimel, indeed, Vayetze Moshe mein Paro's ear, Moshe left Paro's presence, went out of the town, and Vayifros kapal of L'Hashem, he spread out his hands to Hashem, and Vayachtel Akolos Vabar Motel Lotah the sounds and the bar and everything else stopped. Okay, so with the idea of outstretching hands, again, Moshe said, Ephros es kapai, and the Pasuk said, indeed, Vayifros kapav, stretching out his hands was a sign of tefillah. We actually find that earlier in the Chumash, well before the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Parshas Lech Lecha, this is according to one interpretation. Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yudalad Bereshit, Sukkim Chav Beis Chav Gimel, source number two. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when Avraham Avinu comes back after being victorious, you know, against the four kings, the battle with the four kings and the five kings and so on. So Avram came back and he was greeted by Melech Sdom, and the king of Sdom offered him all kinds of spoils and so on, just giving my people back, the captives redeemed, giving my captives back, but you can take spoils and loot. And the Pasuk says, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Habez, Avram el Melech Sdom, Harimo siyod el Hashem kelel shkanesh ma'amaret. I lift up my hands to God. And it says in Chav Gimel, Michutfat Shochnal, I won't take a string, not even a shoelace, nothing. I'm not going to take anything from you because I don't want anybody to say, oh, the king of Sdom, you know, you can tell people it's because of me that Avram got wealthy. So according to Rashi, this has nothing to do with our discussion because Rashi there in Parsha Lechachon, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Chav Beis, 3, Harimosi Yadi Loshon Shvua. He raised his hand to the side of an oath. Meir Manias Yadi Lekelel, I swear to God, like in a court today, raise your right hand. You know, he raised his hand as a sign of taking an oath, and he swore, I'm not going to take anything from him. However, if you look in Targum Unklus, there on that Pasuk in Parsha Lecha, Bereshit Perek Yudal, Pasuk Chabez, 4, Ba'amar Avraham Malko de Zomar, Arimis Yadi B'tzilu, Kodam Hashem. Tzilu is Aramaic for tefillah, like we say in Kaddish, Tiskabel Tzeloson Uva Uson. Tzeloson means our tefillah, Tzari Lamed Yud, that phrase we find many times in the Gemara, that means to daven, to pray. So according to Targum Unklus, when Avram raised his hand, he was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want your assistance here, I'm not going to take anything from the king of Sdom, was a form of tefillah. So there we see once again, at least according to Targum Unklus, there's a reference to raising your hand, referring to some form of tefillah. In Parshas Chayei Sora, Gracious Perek Chof Dal, at the end of the Perek, Sukkim Sama Gimel and Sama Dal, when the Eved of Avram comes back with Rivka, she's about to meet Yitzchak, it says, Pasuk Sama Gimel, Perek Chof Dal, source 5, by Eitz, Yitzchak, Lasuach, Basalef, Nos Oreb, Yitzchak went out to Lasuach, Basalef, Rashi explains in source 6, Lasuach, Basalef, Lasuach, Loshon, Tfila. He went out to daven. According to Chazal, the Gemara Brachos Daf Chav Vav Mid Beis, Avraham Yitzchak Avinu instituted mincha because it says lifnos arev, was in the afternoon. Okay, but again, that language of Vayetzi Yitzchak Lasuach means he went to daven, and Vayiso Ena Vayarav Inei Gmalibam. He saw some camels coming, and Pasuk Samach Dal Batisa Rivkas Ena Vataris Yitzchak Batipa Omei Al Hagamol. She saw Yitzchak, and according to what Chazal said, she saw Yitzchak davening. She fell off of the camel. So the Medrash says there in Parshas Chayesor, Bereshis Rabba, Parshas Samach, Simon Yud Dalad, 7, source 7, Vayetz Yitzchak Lusuch Basalev Nos Erev, Ein Tzicha La Tfila, like we said, Tzicha means Tfila, and have Psukim to support that. And in Simon Tesvav, there in Parshas Samach, and Medrash Bereshis Rabba, it says, Vatisa Rivka Es Enev Ateres Yitzchak, Amar Avuna, Tzofa Shiyado Shtucha B'Tfila. she saw his hands outstretched in tefillah. It doesn't say in the pasuk that he stretched out his hands. It says lasuach, which means he davened. But the medrash says his hands were stretched out in tefillah. Amra vada adam gadahu. And she concluded he must be an important person. That's why she asked about him, fell off the camel, etc. So there's another reference early in the Chumash to Yitzhak also davening apparently with outstretched hands. That's a form of tefillah. Later, after our Sedra, in a couple of weeks, we'll read Parshas B'Shalach. So the very end of Parshas B'Shalach, Amalek attacks. It's a laning for Purim morning. Amalek attacks. And Moshe says in Perek Yud Zayin of Shmos, starting in Pasuk Tes, V'ayomer Moshe Yeshua, B'char lanu anashim, select the men for us, and so on, B'tzei lachem Amalek, you go lead the battle against Amalek, because machar tomorrow, Anochi nitzav al Rosh HaGiva, I'll stand on the hill with the Matei Elokim, with God, with the staff, and so on. And in Pasuk Yud, V'ayas Yeshua, he waged war, and Moshe Aaron V'chur, all of Rosh HaGiva, and Moshe Aaron V'chur went up the hill. And we all know this pasuk, Giralah Bayah, Kaisher Yari Moshe Yadav Gavar Yisrael, Sher Yaniachado Gavar Amalek. When Moshe's hands were outstretched, so the Jewish people down below in the battlefield were winning. And when his hands came down, so then Amalek started to win. So Moshe's hands were heavy in pasuk Yudbeis, and therefore they took a stone and on each side of him, and Aaron Achor helped his hands stay up. And pasuk Yudbeis, Vayachalosh Yeshua Samalek, Besamalek Vichorim. Yeshua defeated Amalek. So, the famous Rashi actually comments there in Parshas B'Shalach and Shmos Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph, source 9. Kasher Yorei Moshe Yodo V'Chiyodo Shemoshe Notzel. What? Moshe's hands determine whether the battle wins. So he refers you to the famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Tesvan Aleph, that I printed here in source 10. The Mishnah says, V'Hoya Kasher Yorei Moshe Yodo V'Gavar Yisrael. It said to when Moshe's hands were outstretched, the Bnei Yisrael won. So the Mishnah asks, V'Chiyodo Shemoshe Osos M'chama Shavos M'chama. It's up. Moshe's hands determine the battle. El Alomalach. Kozman Shahayu saw Mistakan Klape Maila, when if the Bnei Yisrael directed themselves, their eyes towards heaven, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they saw Moshe Davin, they were inspired, Ne Davin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishabdin Sliban Labiyam Shavah Shemayim, they, you know, they committed themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mizgabrim, that's when they would win, they would love, Hayu Nofim, if not, they would fall. And the Targum Unkel is there in Parshat B'Shalach, and not Pasuk Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, in Source 11. What were they doing? So again, Bidei Moshe Akar, Moshe's hands were heavy, and Aaron and Khor went up, and so on. Look at the end of Source 11, that Targum Unkos, it says, Behava Yadoa Prisan Bitzilu. Again, that word Bitzilu, the Aramaic word for Tefillah. What was Moshe's hands doing up? Tefillah. His hands were up, Adal Shemshon, until the end of the day, till the sun set, and so on. So again, Moshe was davening, okay? And that's how we see in the Ramban also, the Ramban there in Parshat Shalach, the very end of the Sedra, Parakat Zayin, Poskid Aleph, Source 12. He quotes a medrash, not a gemara, he quotes a medrash. What Moshe wanted Amalek, or would have let Amalek win? An interesting medrash. You're not supposed to have your hands outstretched in prayer more than 3 hours. But again, for our purposes, again, some quoted as a Gemara. It's not a Gemara anywhere that I know of. They quoted here in the Sefer Abahir. It's a Kabbalistic work, one of the early Kabbalistic works. Those Kuflam and Ches. Anyway, in the Pirkei Avot Ezer, Perek Mem Dalad, Source 13, Amar Moshe Yeshua B'chalam Anoshim, Anoshim B'nei Avos, Anoshim B'Rachayel, all kinds of soldiers, you know, good people, and so on, Yerei Shamayim, went to fight Amalek, and Moshe went up. That's why Moshe didn't lead the battle himself, and Aaron Chur stood on each side, and the Pirkei Avot Ezer there in Perek Mem Dalad, the second line of 13, says, Mikam Ata Lomed, Shushliach Tzibur, Osis Balav, Ein Shom Shnayim Odin, Shliach Tzibur, should have two people next to him at all times. Two people should stand next to Shliach Tzibur. And actually, we don't do that regularly, but on a tinus, we do that. And some say, well, not on a tinus, but on the tefillah that's unique to the tinus. So that's why Ne'ilah, whole Armin is a whole shul stand. But some people try and have two people standing by the side of the chaz, like Aaron Chur did with Moshe. But anyway, in any event, the last line is, whatever the people, Moshe did, the people did. Okay, Rohan Lamosha Karabakov, name Karma became when he bowed or kneeled, they would kneel. He would fall on his face, they would do it. Pores, last line of 13, Pores Kap of El Shamayim, when he stretched his hands out in tefillah, hey, Porsim Kapayam Ravisham Shamayim. So it wasn't just Moshe, it was all the people. And again, that's a Mikana Talamit, Shashriyatim is Malakach Kolam Onimachav Amen. The people mimic or follow what the Shriyatim does. But in any event, we see again, for our purposes, is that Prisas Kapayim, spreading your hands out, stretching your hands out before God is a form of tefillah. Indeed, we see other psukim in Tehillim, Parak Sama Gimel Pasuk K14, Kein Avarecha B'chaya B'Shimcha Esa Chapoi. And Rashi says in Parak Sama Gimel Pasuk Hey of Tehillim 15, B'Shimcha Esa Chapoi Lehispalel Ulahal. Again, stretching out your hands is synonymous with tefillah. Okay, another pasuk in Tehillim, Parak Sama Ches Pasuk Yud 16, Eini Dova Minyan Tzomer. It ends B'Chol Yom Shitachti Elecha Chapoi. And right, the Mitzvot David, there in Tehillim, Perek Peches, Pasuk Yud says 17, Parasti Chakapai Kederech HaMispalalim. So again, in the days of David HaMelech, we saw Avram and Yitzchak and Moshe Rabbeinu, and now David HaMelech, Priestess Kapayim, stretching out your hands, is something that's done in the form of, when it's a form or it's associated with davening, with Tefillah Takarish Baruch Hu. Indeed, it's striking that in Malachim Aleph, Perek Ches, Source 18, when Shlomo HaMelech,
yeah. One question.
Yeah.
If they were actually fighting, so if they're stretching out their hands and davening, yeah, then they're relying on a nest that the Amalekim are not doing.
Interesting question. So maybe it doesn't mean that every minute they were doing that, but at certain points there was a lull in the battle or different people were fighting, different people were stretching out their hands. You have to figure out, I'm not sure. Doesn't mean they all stopped and suddenly davened. That's probably true. They had to fight. Yeah. Anyway, that's in terms of Avram, Yitzhak, Moshe, David. But here, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, so in Perek Aleph, Perek Ches of Malachim Aleph, is a long tefillah that Shlomo recited at the time of the completion and dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash. We learned it over Sukkot, and Atzeres. But anyway, it says, Perek Ches, Pasuk Chav Beis 18, Vayamo Shlomo, if Nevizu Hashem Neger, Kol Chayiswa, Vayifros, Kapo Vashamayim. Shlomo initiated, inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash with a tefillah, and it used the expression "Vayifros Kapo Vashamayim." And it says in Pasuk Lamed Ches later on, that was Pasuk Chav Beis, later on, and part of his tefillah was Kol Tefillah, Kol Tchina She'atiel, Kol Odom, Kol Am Yisrael. Any tefillah that the Jewish people should ever daven, Ashiyidu Ish Negel Avavo, he feels pain in his heart and he needs to daven. Ufaras Kapo Velabayas Hazel, stretch out his hand, he'll daven through the Beis HaMikdash. All the tefillahs are channeled through the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and again, in Pasuk Lamed Tes, I taught Tishma Shamayim, and you'll listen, and they'll fear you, and so on. And in so once again, Shlomo HaMelech himself stretched out his hand, and he said, when Jews come and stretch out their hands and feel it, the tefillah should go through this space. I mean, the same idea is found in Divrei Yomim Beis Perek Vav, summarizing those same events, the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash in 19. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Beis, Divrei Yomim Beis, Vayamar Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Neged Kol Yisrael, Vayifroz Kapov. And it says again, when he built everything and so on, the Pasuk Yud Gimel ends, Vayifroz Kapov Hashamayim. So obviously, stretching out your hands is an acceptable and indeed serious or worthy form of tefillah. Ezra, same thing, Perek Tes of Ezra, Pasuk Hey 20. Talking of Minchas Arab Kamti Mitarasi Vikara Bigda Mil Vechura Echra Birkaiva Ephrasa Chapai El Hashem Elokim. He stretched out his hand before God. So, from all of this, we see that tefillah is associated, or stretching out your hands is associated with tefillah. And indeed, the smug, Sefer Mitzvah Gadol in Mitzvah Essay Essen Simon Tes Zion, Source 21, says, when a person davens, Vyichra al Birkav, you should kneel, which we may say it all by the end, and he's actually talking here, Simon Tezayin rather here, he's talking about tshuva. When a person says vidu and does tshuva, so the smag is saying that you should kneel and you should stretch out your hands, v'yivakesh rachamim, v'yizvade, you should say vidu, v'yivakesh rachamim, shezu elokim, and so on, the Baruch Hu should help you, all these things. But again, yifros kapov, spread it, stretching out your hands. Well, as you know, that is not the mode of tefillah today. Okay, we don't see people stretching out their hands. I mean, occasionally you see one person does it in the Shemoneh Esrei, but that's not the normal mode of tefillah. And yet in all these sources, Avraham Avinu, Yitzhak, and Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim, and Moshe in our parasha, and Moshe Rabbeinu by the Battle of Amalek with Yeshua, you know, stretching out his hands in the name of the people, and David HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech, and Ezra, you know, all this is a standard type of tefillah. The Smag says this is a normal way of supplication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, we don't do it. Now, there is a Gemara in Shabbos, of Yudam and Aleph, 22. Rava Shadiglima Ufachar Yadeh. He put on some kind of a garment that's not important for us now. Ufachar Yadeh Umatzli. There's that word again, the Aramaic word for tefillah, right? The Kabbalah flows on it. Umatzli, Yidavin. Okay, Yidavin. And what is it? Ufachar Yadeh Chovei Yadav Be'etzba Osto. Kind of like crossed his hands, crossed his hands, like put his hands together, held his hands together. And lahachnis etzbaos yad achas b'shnia, ka'odom ha-mitztar me'emas rabo. He's about to daven, he has fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you get nervous, sometimes people put their hands together, you clasp your hands together, you grasp your hands together, you're tense. So a person approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Rava did. It says also Rav Ashi, or actually the Gemara continues there on Yoram Alaf, Omer Rav Ashi, Chazina Leila Rav Kana. That's Rav Kana, when he had some kind of a tzar he was davening for, Shad Gimel Ufachar Yodei Umatzli, Omer Ke'avdo Kamemori, like a humble servant before his God, he put his hands together. What happened to stretching out his hand? He didn't do that. Okay. Now the Chiddush Aran actually quotes that there are two different interpretations of that phrase. Facha yoda. The Chiddush Aran is assumed to be the Chiddush Aran. Not clear. The scholars. That's why it says miyuchaslo. This interpretation. This passage in the Chiddush Aran. It's attributed to the Aran. Maybe it wasn't the Aran, but it's certainly a reliable authoritative source. So there in Shabbos Yudim and Aleph 24. Facha yoda. Pirush Aran Mamzal. Nosen yad small b'shel yamin. He put his left hand, into the right hand and so on. That's the Rambam, like we said. He clasped his hand together. However, Rabbeinu Hanan el Zal Pirish, no sen yadov la'achorov. He put his hands behind his back. Ke'eved nafik b'kolo, like a servant, it's like he's got a weight on him, he's being held in place, it's a prisoner or something, and his hands are behind his back. So again, two different interpretations, but neither of them has to do with outstretched hands. You look in the Rambam, Hilchas Tfila Perek, Hei Alocha Aleph, 25, the Rambam says, Shmona Dvarim, certain things, Tzorach HaMispal Lizor Ben La'asosan, certain things you should make sure to do when you're davening. However, Docha Nenas O'Sha'ava La'asosan Ein Makbin, but failure to do so doesn't disqualify your Tfila, but it's proper to do it. What are they? So Amida standing, Nocha Chamikdash face to face, Chamikdash number three on the list is the Tikkun Haguf. Posturing yourself properly, positioning your body. Then he says also garments and other things, but we're interested now in posture of the body. So Allah Dalet explains, Tikkun Haguf Keitzad, Kisho Omeid B'Tfilah Tzorach Lechaven Es Raglov Zu B'Tzad Zu. You put your feet together like we know we do with the Shemana Esrei. V'no Sein Ein Av Lamata Kilu Mabit Ba'aretz, and put your head down a little bit. V'yalibu Pana Lamala Ki Omeid Shema Shemaim, but your heart should be directed heavenward. U'meniach Yodov Al Libo. Okay, you put your hands by your heart. Let's go into the Rambam. Kfusin Hayamanis Ala Smolos. The right one over the left one. That's you position them. That the right is over the left. Okay, somehow. Okay. And Omeid Ke'evel of Neiraba Be'em of Yerufachan. Don't put your hands by your side or by the lower part of your body and so on. Because of Mishnah says the mocker for this Rambam is that Gemara and Shabbos Daf Yudah, we just saw it. Source 22. Okay, the Daf Yudah and Aleph and Shabbos. The Kaz Mishnah says that the Rava and Rav Kana and so on. That's what they do. Okay, and that's how the Rambam interprets the Fach Yudah, like we saw from the Ran. He interprets that he put his hand, the Kesef Mishnah says, it never says in the Gemara, you're right over your left. Well, Mistoma hi hayamonos ala smolos. Mistoma means the right soul is superior. Mistoma is the right hand over the left hand by your heart, the right hand over the left hand. Okay, why Mistoma? Other areas we find right over left in Kabbalistic literature and Hasidic literature. It's interesting in some Hasidic circles, when they button the shirt, but by us, the left side goes over the right. By our regular shirts, our regular button-down shirts, men's shirts, the button, the hole is on the left side, so you pull the left side goes over the right. In some place, Yerushalayim and other old Hasidim and so on, it's the other way around. I remember my father, Yarshin, the kittel, okay, and they couldn't understand. It was backwards. It was like a woman's clothing goes the other direction, but that's why they're right over the left. Anyway, Kesemisha says that the Rambam came up with that his own, but some of that's the reason. Okay, there is another commentary in the Shitas HaKadmonim in Brochas, Tav Yudah ben Aleph. There's one of Yishonim, one of the earliest sources of Rabbeinu Parachia. Rabbeinu Parachia is quoted in the Shita, the Sefer Shitas HaKadmonim, I have in source 27, a very important point. Okay, Pocha Yodah, here's another interpretation. Pirish Pocha Yodah, Klomar Sholeach Yodah Lomato. Okay, now he writes, at first point, the person to deal with our issue, Ein magbian betfila klal. You don't raise your hand, tefila. Now, two different interpretations. Why not? Shelo yishtabesh ve'om lefnei boro. You won't get mixed up, or lo yistarer. Like he says, starer, lenin, gav, starer. It's a sign almost of gaiva. That's what he seems to be saying. Now, yesh pirsha, some say, That's like the Rambam. But the first interpretation of this Rabbeinu Parachya is that you have it on your side, and that doesn't interest me. What interests me more is now he's saying you don't raise your hand, either because it'll lead you to some sort of gaiva, you'll have trouble concentrating or something. So that's the earliest source that I know of that deals with the question. Apparently things changed, because obviously, as we saw in the Tanakh, numerous people davened with their hands outstretched. But in the Parachi is writing over here, Eino magbiyam betfila klal. It's not done. And I think there was a question of what the gears exactly was, but maybe it's some type of yuara. We'll see later, some type of a sense of pride or the gaiva, that it's improper. Now, in terms of the halacha, so the Kesef Mishnah, I'm sorry, the Beis Yosef, the same author, in the Arachayim Simon Tzadi Hei in Hilchos Tefila. Okay, he writes, Meniach Yodo Alibo Kfusim. He quotes the Rambam and so on, you know, because that's what it says in the Tour also, the Simon Tzadi Hei Os Gimel in the Tour. Okay, and he quotes from that Gemara in Shabbos and so on. Okay, and he says, Umasha causes your amanas how small is that which the Rambam said right over left, Misvar Dinafshe Kosev Ken, the third line of 28. He said that on his own, doesn't say that anywhere. Okay, he said that on his own. Okay, and to remez lachnos yetzahara shunimus mitzad small. The yetzahara is somehow the left side, so you control the yetzahara. Is that what the Rambam had in mind? I don't know. Doesn't sound so much like the Rambam, but okay. Anyway, because Rabbeinu Gadol Mari Abu Hab. However, the Beis Yosef now quotes Yitzhak Abu Hab. Shakol kemineg hamakom. This issue of where your hands or how you hold your hands depend on different places. Sheish mekoma shechok v'nayad azor yamin tachas atzil small, u'small tachas atzil yamin. Keshemidabrim imamelech. Basically, it's what the minhag hamakom is. How do you posture your hands when you go before a king or a dignitary? What do you do with your hands? Sometimes it's awkward. You know, what do you do with your hands? You know, when you meet the dignitary, you meet a high-ranking official, what do you do with your hands? So it depends on the places. Okay? Zel minhag Eretz Edom. The Rabbi Maria Bahav, quoted by the Beis Yosef, says in Eretz Edom, that was the minhag that they sort of had the hands crossed, you know, the right hand under the left arm, you know, on the armpit, across their hands. That was considered a respect, I guess. Okay, that's how they did in Eretz Edom. V'yesh makomos shechok in yadayim be'etzposayim. But others cross the fingers, grasp the hands. That's how they do it. V'yesh makomos misim yadayim lacharem. They put their hands behind their back, like we saw before. V'zeh v'chein minig Eretz Yishmael. That's in the Arab lands. That's what they did. M'chav nilermos kilo ein lehem yadayim komos ein lehem yichol azulaso. That's a sign of respect, because you put your hands behind your back. It's as if you're saying, I can't do anything on my own. I'm helpless. Right, your hands are tied. We have an expression in English, you know, my hands are tied. Not tied, usually tie your hands, are tied behind your back. Okay, that's the sense. So what the Maria Bahab was saying, it depends. There's no one rule necessarily. Okay, everything depends upon how you position your hands when meeting a dignitary, an important person. King is somebody, so that's what you do over here. Okay, the Darkei Moshe adds there in Siman Tzadi Hei, in Oz Gimel, Aderecha Emes, that's Kabbalistic, to Remez Lahag B'midas Harachmin L'Sadin. Okay, somehow the right hand is minas haracham, and left hand is minas, left side is minas adin, so racham over din. Okay, and anyway, he says, don't put your left over your right. No, zdala, don't do that for sure. You know, again, that's alpi derech hasod. Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tzadi Hei Siv Gimel, source 30, paskins like the Rama, meniach yodo alibo kifusin, pirish kishur, like hands are tied together, you know, like interlock. Haimonis ala smolas, va omen kevlech nerabba, be'em of yura fachad, velo yaniach yodo achalatsum neshu derech yura. So the guy better put your hands on the side and so on. Okay, the Mogen Avraham, though, in Sukkot and Beis, in Siman Tzadi Hei 31, says, "Akol kamina gamakomos sha'om din lefnei Adonai." The Mogen Avraham, despite the fact that the Mechaba ruled one way, the Mogen Avraham says, yeah, but in the Beis Yosef, he quotes from the Yitzhak Abu Hab, who said that everything is based on how you stand before your masters, you know, in the world. Okay, and then it was Sefer Yud Mem, Beis Samach Yud Mem, Sefer Yud Mem, Asura Mamoros, or Menachem Azari Mefanu. Okay, and he quotes them where it is. Quotes that the Arizal should say the right hand be over the left hand, and so on. Okay, different way how you tucked your thumb in a certain way. Lachofa agudo b'soch pisa yad. You put your hands by your chest like this, crossed over, and the thumb is tucked under. Okay, different Kabbalistic things. The Taz comments in Kotten Gimel. Remez achnos ha'itzahara shenimaz b'tzad small. Like we said before, it's the remez to control over the Yitzahara. Okay, all these different things. That I mentioned is how you position your hands in Shabruah. It's a cotton vav, right? To put your hand on your heart again. But he also notes, like the Mogen Avraham, b'makom shenog and lamod ken lefnei melech. It depends how people stand before the rulers in that land. Kishevadamer shalom to tzarchem. When you speak to the king, you ask for your needs. I call kamidig amakom. And he quotes this business of the Arizal, tuck your fingers in, and so on. Well, there are different things done today in different communities also. The Tzitz Eliezer is an interesting tshuva, Chelek Tes Simen Dalet, okay, 34. He says, Odos Hamikra Barav Choshev Echad Gadol B'Torah. A certain Palmer Chochah, Gadol B'Torah, came, Yosha Kisa Hara, Bachas Akilos Aglos B'Chutzaritz. Okay, a certain prominent Rav from Chutzaritz, you know, Pascha, Posek, Halakha Authority, from Chutzaritz, came, Bishabiker B'Kandre Sakneset, came to Shul here in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, he got up to say the Shmona Esrei, kishiyadu mishulavus lacharov, and his hands were behind his back. Okay, the laws of alanagas or kalam ispam. People made fun of it; they never saw it before. This guy's supposed to be big tam chacham, a big posting. What's he doing? So Tzitz Eliezer goes into this issue, and he said it's true that amnam hanhagas. So I said neged anifsek b'zeh Rambam. It's against what it says in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, that tefillah should be your hand during tefillah should be over your heart and so on. Okay, however, if you look at that Gemara and Shabbos Daf Yod, we see that Taka different interpretation exactly what that meant. The Rambam said one thing, but the Rambam Chananel, he goes and says the other thing. And in those days, he says, and furthermore, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rebbe Hav, who says everything is called Kamina Medina, so it's okay. The number of different Ashitas involved, you can look to what he says. He knows, hey, towards the end, Hare Motsanu Ra'inu, Sheyesh Mokalof and Zeshul Simis Adam Lachore Bidibra Ben Chananel, putting your hands behind your back as a Mokan Ben Chananel, and Shador Dvikabal, Chananel is one of the early Rishonim as a tradition behind it and so on. And therefore, and especially Maria Wahab said that was the practice in Eretz Yishmael, like we said before earlier. That was the practice in Arab lands. That's how they stood before a dignitary. So that's an acceptable thing. All right. On the other hand, he says it's better not to go away from the Ram of the Shulchan Aruch, and that's in Eretz Yishmael, the Minig. It's like that, but again, you know, there are different minhagim about it. The problem is with all of this, what happened to stretching out your hands? You know, we saw it so many times in Tanakh. So we saw that Rebbeinu Parache there in the Shita Sakramona and Brochas Daf Yud gave that answer. Somehow it's a sign of a gaiva. Rekiva Eger asked this question. So in Peites, if I'm the Shulchan, very beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, first comment, Rekiva Eger in Hilchos Tefillah 35. The Shulchan Aruch talks about Zman Tefillah, but that's what Rekiva Eger says. Masha Ein Ono Mispalim. But priestess Kapayim, why don't we daven with hands outstretched? That doesn't seem to be any of the options. Okay, Kemosh Matzina b'Mikra Kama Pamim. We find it in many times. You know, he says the Zohar and Pirkei Avot that we saw. Okay, and he says Hainu Kema the Achshava Umos Osim Kema. He says because now that's the way non-Jews pray. Kemosh Omer Chazal Apostle Kol Sukkim L'Chamatzev. He quotes this from the Be'er Sheva in Siman Ayin Dalet. Be'er Sheva, in this edition I have over here, it's Siman Ayin Aleph. The Chuvah is Be'er Sheva, 36. Be'er Sheva is named Yisachar Be'er Eilenson, the early Achronim. And he writes, I'll read it inside, but at least part of it. Menurai Tamati, from the time I was young, I was astonished. Elama ain't on an ugly spalom, it's a keeping style of Malach. Kamosh Yagam was saying about Elam. And he quotes some of the sources. I know where I got him from. He quotes some of the sources that we mentioned, right? He says the Targum Unklin, some of the Avraham Avinu, who's stretching his hands by the Melech Sodom, and the Medrash by the Chayesara about the Rivka when she first saw Yitzchak, and he quotes all these things, and he quotes in the third line the Pasuk Mar Sedra, Kamosh Amar Moshe, but Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Kitzeis Yisrael, Ephros is Kapal Hashem." I'll stretch out my hands before God. And that's what he did, and by Amalek, you know, the battle and so on, and with Shlomo Amalek, quotes all these different sources in Pirkei Avot, as he mentions, and all these different things, and he mentions with the Halach of Tzibur and so on and so forth, the Titus Tzibur, that's how they should daven, all these things. Now, he says on the, 3, 6, all the people we mentioned were fairly prominent people, Avram, Yitzchak, Moshe. So he says, maybe that was the practice of the prominent people, but he says, he can't say that. He says, E-F-shar, it's 8 lines on the bottom, E-F shalomar, shalohenu gispal came to give down the mala el dafka anoshim rishum chashubim. Ugdolim, Kona, Avos, and Avim, and Melachim. Can't bring Rias from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and from Moshe Rabbeinu, from the Nevi. Okay, they were prominent people. But Lachain, Eino, Nogin, Lachshav, that's why. No. He says, because in the Pirkei Avot that we saw Pirkei Avot, again, in Perek Mem Daled, we saw it back in, what source was it? More think source 13. So Pirkei Avot says, remember the people mimicked. At the time of the Battle of Malek, everyone did it. When Moshe stretched out his hand, so did they. That's what Frank Chris Akasha, how'd they fight? But whatever the answer to that is, they have different times. But says the Be'er Sheva, they all did it. It wasn't just Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? So therefore, you can't say that. So anyway, what he suggests, and say he raises this Kasha, And then he quotes something from a Zohar, okay, which we'll see shortly. But anyway, he quotes a Zohar that I'll quote later on. But in terms of answering the question, so he says, this is the next page, he says, you have to say, and he says, and he goes, yeah, so you'll tell me at the top of the next page, he says, so you'll tell me, yeah, but the Gemara in Shabbos, it says that Rava did, Rava Kana and Ravashi all did like the whatever, however they folded in front of them or the back, whatever it was. So he says, and that's what the Rambam says. Okay, but why did they change? In other words, that only puts the question to an earlier date. In other words, the Beersheva's and early Achrons, he's writing, how come we don't daven anymore? We tell him, the Rambam doesn't say that. Yeah, okay, but why did the Rambam go? Well, he got it from the Gemara. Yeah, but why did the Gemara? Why did it change? That's basically what he's driving at. Okay, so he says, I don't understand. In the second line, Amram Kratani Tuba Rava Gufe, Rava and all the Gemara and Shabbos. Why did they do it like that? Why did they follow the practice of the original practice? So therefore, I would say, he says as follows. First of all, maybe the Gemara means that that's what Pachayot means. He stretched out his hand. Yeah, but that's not what it means. So Shema Yesh Lomar, he writes in the third line to the end. Now, Achash Shinim to Anogim Umos Olam Akum Lispala came as Kivsadayim Lamala Kimaforsam. That's the way Ode Avodazara and other religions pray with their hands outstretched. So therefore, we don't do it to distinguish ourselves from them. And he says the same thing we find by a Matseva. Okay, the pasuk says, he quotes it, 37, Dvarim Perak Tezayin Pasuk Chabez in Parsha Shoftim. The lo sakim l'cha matzeva asher sonei shalom hakevim. Don't build a matzeva. Don't build as a form of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu to offer karbonos and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a matzeva. He hates it. Okay? Now, what's a matzeva? So Rashi there in Parsha Shoftim, Perak Tezayin Dvarim Pasuk Chabez, 38, says, the lo sakim l'cha matzeva, matzeva evan achas. Matzeva is a one stone thing. To bring karbon and say, even though Shemayim, you're going to say shame, Shemayim. No, don't do it. Because it says, Asher Sonei. Because Baruch Hu hates this. Why does he hate it? Okay, when we build a Mizbeach out of many stones, like it says, Mizbeach Avonim. I build it out of multiple stones, but not out of one. Why? Kodesh Baruch Hu hates it. So look at the end of the Beersheba, the end of 36. Afo Pishay Sa Hubal, if not Kodesh Baruch Hu, Avos, even though during the Avos time was okay, Rashi, he's citing Rashi and Chumash there. 38 in Parsha Shoftim, Parakta Nesayim Pasuk Habeid. Afo Bishayisa Ahuva Lo Bimea Avos Achshav Sneha Miachash Asua Elu Cho Klavodazar. They make their rules. It's part of Avodazar now. Now the fact is, we do find Matzevas. We're not going to read all this Pesukim and Sabi. Look in Parsha Vayetze when at the beginning of the Parsha Vayetze when Yaakov has a dream with the ladder. So he wakes up. Parak Chavches starting in Pasuk Tezayin. Vayikat Yaakov Mishaso Chen Yesh Hashem Avokom Hazeh. And so he wakes up. And what does he do in Pasuk Yud Ches? Vayashkim Yaakov Aboker, Vayikach Hasevan Asher Somer Hashem, he took the stone from his head, Vayasim Asa Matzeva. He made it to Matzeva, he took Shemen Rosh, he poured oil over it as a sign of, like a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he named the place Beis Eil, and so he took a neder, and he said, this Matzeva, yeah, look at the last Pasuk, the quote in 39, Pasuk Chav Beis, of Perk Chav Ches, and beginning Parashat Vayetze. Vayavan Azosu, Shesamti Matzeva, yeah, Beis Eil Kim. So certain was okay. Parshal Yishlach later on, Perak Lamed Hei Bereishis, when Yaakov comes back and is blessed and his name is changed from Yaakov to Yisrael, not the first time after the fight with the Malach, the second time. So it says, Vayera Lakim Yaakov, Od Bo, and Padon Rambe, Baruch Hoso. He names Yaakov Yaakov, he's born Yisrael, and he was Brachas to him and so on. And it says, when Hashem leaves, Vayal, 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 Kim, Bavach, Mashadibir, he told us, Pasuk Yadalad, Vayatsev Yaakov Matseva, Bavach, Mashadibir, so Matseva, so he set up a Matseva. Okay, and then they close the king and place again Beis Eil. Parshas Mishpatim, Shmos Perkov Dalid, Mamet Har Sinai. Vayava Perkov Dalid Posse Gimel. Vayava Moshe Vaisapir Elam is called Dibre Hashem, is called Mishpatim Hashem. Moshe related all the mitzvahs and so on Mishpatim. And everybody said Nasa and later Nasa and Nishma, right? And Posse Dalid, Vayikta Moshe is called Dibre Hashem Vashkem Baboker, Vayivin is Beach Tachas Har. He built some Beach, Ushtema Sey Matseva, Ushtema Sa Shivte Yisrael, built the Matsevas. Again, a part of Mount Torah. Yet now, we don't do it. That's how the Pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim back in 37. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu hates it. That's what the Sifrei says. In Pesach Kuf Mem Vav, Sifrei and Dvarim, Parsha Shoftim, 42. And even if it's not, certainly if it's for Avodah Zarah, but even if it's not for Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to have any Matzevas anymore. So, getting back to the Beersheba says, yeah, same thing with stretching out your hands on davening. During the time of the Tanakh, and all the Avos, and then down to Avram Yitzhak and Moshe and David HaMelech and Shlomo and Ezra. Yeah, but fell out of favor because it began to be something which the non-Jews use as an essential part of their service. And just like a matzeva fell out of favor, we don't use it anymore, so too we don't stretch our hands. So that's the answer to Be'er Sheva. That's the famous answer to Be'er Sheva. So we actually have two answers, because when Parachia said in his commentary on that Gemara, on the Sheetz HaKamonim on Shabbos Daf Yud, he has one interpretation. You don't do it because somehow it's a sign of gaiva of some sort, to stretch out your hands. But maybe it wasn't back then. Maybe they were greater people, and now it'll be a sense of gaiva. We'll come back to that point. But the answer to Be'er Sheva is, yeah, things changed. And once in a while, we find that something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was okay with, approved of, changes because the goyim now take it, the idol worshippers, idolaters take it and make it part of their activities, their prayer activities.
Yeah, we use it for Birchas Kohanim.
That's a different story, right? And it's because that says in the book, we learned that from Psukim, by Yisrael and Shiloh, he raised his hand and so on. That did not, there it's not a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there it's a bracha to the people. Yeah, okay. Now, anyway, there's another answer. The Prima Gadim gives another suggestion. Prima Gadim wrote a sefer on Chumash called the Tevas Gome. Okay, Tevas Gome. So in the sefer Tevas Gome, he alludes to the following. There is a pasuk in Parshat Dvarim, the haftarah of Parshat Dvarim. It's Shabbos Chazon. Dvarim is always a Shabbos for Tisha B'Av. So in Yeshaya, Perek Aleph, pasuk Tezvav, 43, it says, Uvefarischem kapechem, alim enayimikem. The Baruch says, you'll stretch out your hands and I will close my eyes. I'm not interested in your tefillahs. Gam kisarbu tefillah and any shomea. You'll pile on the tefillahs. I won't listen. Right? That's what Yeshaya is describing the punishment. Now, that's why we read this before Tisha B'Av. Yudechem domim malayu. Your hands are filled with blood. So it's interesting. Notice the power. You'll stretch out your hands in tefillah. What kind of hands are these? These are bloody hands. These are hands that have committed crime, that have committed murder. Don't stretch those hands out to me. That's how that's what Yeshaya seems to be saying. In fact, Radak says, in explaining that pasuk Yeshaya Perek Aleph pasuk Tezvav 44, Haresh Bechirik gets spelled before Yishem Kapichem, right? Parisas Kapayim Tefila Tefila, right? Spreading out your hands, that's usually Tefila. It quotes Tukim Efras Kapayel Hashem. That's a pasuk from Aris Sedra. Moshe says he'll stretch out his hand before God. But Eichlo Tevosha, you should be embarrassed, and the tifrus, well, Eilu Kapechem Shafku Damim, you're stretching out your hands before me that spilled blood. Lefichach ani alim enayimikem, below a kabal tefilaschem, I'll hide my eyes, I won't accept your tefilas. No matter how much you'll daven, you'll yell and scream and so on. So, in other words, basically what the pasuk is saying, don't stretch out your bloody hands before me. It's almost like, an insult. It's a chutzpah. These hands, and then he quotes, Rabbi Sein is going to walk a darsha, I'll pause when he sees kapayim, talking about duchening, by Birchus Kohanim. A Kohen who killed somebody, taka shouldn't duchen. That's what it says. Because of parischem kapechem yedechem domim malayu. Gemara says in Brachas, Laman beis mabeis, 45, is a side point. Amar Yochanan called Kohen shargas nevet lelises kapo. Shenemar yedechem domim malayu, that posse in Yeshaya. And the Rabban Paskins that way, Hilchus tvila anusias kapayim, perek tez vavalacha gimel, 46. Haver ketzad Kohen shargas anefesh, afishas a tshuva, lelises kapo. Again, that pasuk is Shulchan Aruch. In the Aruchayim, Sim Kuf Chav Ches, Sif Lamed Hei, 47. Kohen Chargat Hesh, Shavil B'Shogeg. Lo Yisaz Kapo, Filo Asa Tshuva. There are more than says, Yesh Omid Asa Tshuva. You can do no say Kapo, we should make on about Tshuva, and so on. The Mishabur and Sim Kotten, Kuf Chav Zayin, writes in 48, because the pasuk got Parishem Kapechem. So, with this in the back of his mind, the Prima Gadim writes, now let's look at 49, the Tevas Gome. That's his Sefer on Chumash. Tevas Gome. Parashat Dvarim Oz Gimel 49. He writes, "Uba haftora uvarischem kapichem koyin shorim shavuli utfila hayu lifnim befrisas kapayim." Yes, tefillah in the olden days that was with outstretched hand. Achshav batlu kibav arosenu harab me'ain nizhar me'agezul chadomeh. Maybe we didn't kill anybody, but our hands do all kinds of other nasty things. We steal. Right, so it's not right. Ain kategor nasa sanegor. Okay, the prosecuting attorney cannot become the defense attorney. Well, our hands are dirty, so to speak. So the Prima Gadim says, why we don't anymore, Davin? Because when our hands outstretch, because our hands are filled with blood, so to speak. Our hands are dirty. Our hands are not clean of averas. At one time, yes, certain people certainly. Right? Now, again, this may be what Rabbeinu Parachia had in mind, that it was kind of like a sign of yura. It's a sign of gaiva. Oh, my hands are clean. Our hands aren't so clean. So that's another interpretation. of hands being clean. You could actually work that into that Targum Unklus by Avraham Avinu. Remember, Avraham Avinu davened, said he really raised his hands when he can't, and when he spoke to the Melech's dome. So Rashi said he raised his hand, took an oath. But the Targum Unklus says that he davened, and that works out. The Gemara says in Sota Daf Yud Zayin Aleph 50, Darash Rabba, B'schar Shomar Avraham Avinu Imichud V'atzochnal, Zochu Banav Abay Mitzvah, Zchut Shol Tchela, Zchut Shol Tzilin. His descendants were given a reward. Chut v'atzrochnal, chut. I want to take a string. Oh, for now we get the mitzvah tzitzit, so that string, tchelet. Ritzua is a strap, like a shoe strap, a bootstrap. So we have straps in our tefillin. Okay. Why do we get this big reward? So look at what Rashi says there in Soti Yudzanam Allah 51. He says, Bishar mi'chut v'atzrochnal, shevriach atzma in a gezel. Why didn't Avram want to take any of the spoils from the king of stone? He was entitled to it because he didn't want nothing to do with gezel. And I think it may mean not that it would be stolen because he'd be entitled to it from winning the war, but who knows where the King of Sodom got his stuff from. Maybe this was originally contraband, originally stolen goods, right? So he was like a fence, there won't be a fence, right? So that's why. So, and the same thing, Gemara, and Chulin, Pei Chesim Beis, Gemara, Pei Chesim Alav, Omar Rabba, Bishchar, Shomar, Abom Avino, Yimichud V'atzoch Nal, Zoch Omar Oshtei Mitzvah, Chud Shal Tchilet, Chud Shal Tfilin, says the same thing, Rashi, and Pei Chesim Alav, 53, Yimichud V'atzoch, L'Rushol Rotza, L'Honos Min HaGezel. So that's why Avram, so now you put it together. If Uncle says Avram stretched out his hands, it means in tefillah, because Avram was davening at that point with hands stretched out because hands were clean from Gezel. That was the whole episode, right? He's showing my hands, they're not going to get involved in Gezel. I stretch out my hands. My hands are used for tefillah, not for Gezel. Okay, you can interpret it that way if you want. But anyway, the point being that this is a second another interpretation of Prima Godim is saying that we don't have such clean hands, so it's inappropriate to stretch our hands out in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, I mentioned before that the Be'er Sheva quotes the Zohar. I also saw in the Sefer Nefesh Chaya. It's not in the sheets. Nefesh Chaya was written by Reuven Margolios. It was a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael in the first half of the 20th century. He wrote one of these Bekiyim, who knew everything about Peh. He was, many of his Sfarim are kind of off the beaten path. You know, he has a commentary on Sanhedrin, a line-by-line commentary on Sanhedrin, all the Rashis and Tosas, which is a standard type of Sefer. He wrote a lot of things. He wrote about Malachim and nicknames in Chazal, all kinds of interesting things. Anyway, one of his forms called Nefesh Chaya, which is a typical, it's on Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. Okay, so in that Simon, I think it's Simon Tzadik, hey, he raises the question, this issue, about not diving in outstretched hands. So he quotes this Zohar as well. The Zohar appears in Parshas Yisro, 54. I don't usually quote the Zohar, not my area, but here, you know, we'll explain a little bit what it means. It says, Chizki Apostle Omar, that's what it says. It talks about Duchan Reishon and Yado. Ksiv Yado, okay, he raised only one hand. Began the boy la arma yamina al smola, okay, that's with the right over the left and so on. And he says as follows. He says, the chol man, look at the second line, 54, I'll translate it. The chol man, the arm yado le'ela, a person will stretch out his hands, stretches out his hand. The love ain't a bit slosin. Right again, slosin. Slosin of osin is the two words there, like we have in cottage. It's gobbled slosin of osin. It's not in the time of davening. So, hi, e barnas dislatcha masor shultanim. He'll get punished by these 10 different, you know, some of malachim is something going to punish him based on a pasuk kohelas asor shalitim asher hoyu ba'ir. So, alien in an asor dimanim al prisho. These are 10 angels or whatever, 10 malachim which are in charge of tefillah. And when a person stretched out his hands in tefillah and bracha and so on and so forth, so they give him strength and so on. But you should not do it any other time other than during tefillah, and therefore he says again, it's given out the last line, Yistamer Barnash, Bishaita, the Yarmel, the Le'ela, Mevi Betzila, or Berachonabus, either tefillah, or a bracha, or a supplication, that's what you can do. Otherwise, you shouldn't do it. Below Yarn Lemigna, begain the, otherwise, you're going to get cursed by these 10 malachim. Again, this is a Kabbalistic kind of point, obviously, from the Zohar, but the idea seems to be that maybe this is how the Reuven Margolis seems to understand, and others also, that you shouldn't raise your hand in tefillah because just don't get into the habit of raising your hands to a Kodesh Baruch Hu altogether. You'll end up doing it the wrong way or bring upon yourself a curse rather than a bracha. That's the idea of the Zohar over here. So maybe that's another, maybe that's sort of been a parachia meant, that it's, you know, the sign of gaiva. Okay, you can put all these things together, but we have a number of different approaches, right? The Rebbeinu Paracha said it's a sign of Gaiva, and the Be'er Sheva said it's because the Goyim do it now, so we don't do it. The Regadim and the Tevis Goman said it's because we don't have such clean hands, and now the Zohar is giving another reason. perhaps because again, it may relate to also it's not appropriate because you're going to do it, some other time when you're not supposed to do it. So get out of the habit altogether. All right. One other approach I think is interesting, and that is the following. And maybe on the contrary, you could say it again. You can tie this into some of the commentaries as well, and say as follows. You know, why not say? One second. Excuse me for a moment. Was my computer on? Okay, yeah. Anyway, so why not say that adarabba, davening with outstretched hands really is the best way to daven? And that's, again, we see in Tanakh. Maybe we're not worthy, okay, but maybe there's another point as well. We don't really have the Pergamos, we don't have such clean hands. I heard, actually, before I get to this last point, I heard the name of Yaakov Kamenetsky. I didn't see it inside anywhere. That he said, when your hands are outstretched, what position are your actual hands? In other words, so he says it really should be with your hands outstretched, like up, not, like the hands facing away from you, but the hands facing heavenward, as if to say, I'm welling and ready to receive whatever Hashem gives me, right? I stick out my hands, and we're not that madrega today, and I'll take whatever Hashem gives me. Okay, another interpretation. But it could be that that's really the optimal way to daven. We're not able to do it today, just like there's something else that may a little bit relate to this. The very same pasuk, if you look back at the beginning, in our sedra, the end of our sedra, Va'era, Moshe says, in Perk Tes Pasuk Chav Tes, V'homer Elav Moshe Ketseisi Es Ha'ir, when I leave town, Afros Es Kapai El Hashem, I will daven to Hashem. When I leave town, what do I have to leave town for? When I go out of the city, we talked about this many years ago, why I would go out of the city. So Rashi there in our Sedra, in Perak Tes, Pasuk Chav Tes, 55, says, Ketzei says Armina Ir, Ava B'toch Ha'ir Lo, Yispal Lev Yishah Ha'isam Malaya Gilulim. Because the city was filled with idolatry. The Egyptians were idolatrous. He couldn't daven in the city because the city was filled with getchkas, idols and stuff that they worship roaming around, So says Moshe, I have to leave town. I can't daven. So that's a question about davening with. There's some Avodah Zarah nearby and so on. And what constitutes Avodah Zarah? So we've talked about this in the past, but that's what he says over here. The only thing is, Sif Sechom said, yeah, but this isn't the first time Moshe davened after a plague. This is the seventh plague. So Sif Sechom there in Os Chof, 66, says, Alpha Mishikam is not Makas Tzardim, Makas Orobi also. He davened and he didn't leave town. So he gives a teretz why it's different, but it may be because this time, this is the only time he says he's going to stretch out his hands. Maybe that type of tefillah is a special tefillah, and that can't be said just any place. Now, you can certainly daven properly without your hands. We saw in the Rambam that all those dinim of how you position your hands is not ma'akev, it doesn't disqualify your tefillah. So maybe the best way to daven with your hands outstretched. But not every situation calls for it. Perhaps the Makkah of Borod called for it. Okay, it's interesting for different reasons. You look at Makkah of Borod, the unique Makkah, and it's where Hashem hardens Paro's heart and so on. At that point, but be that as it may, the Makkah of Borod apparently deserved an extra type of tefillah, and therefore for that Moshe Rabbeinu felt he had to leave town. Okay, and it's interesting the Torah Tamima here. Okay, in Perek Tes. Knows Gimel 57 quotes in the Sefer Avida Zov in the name of Shmos Hadeshin, the Mikanye Shadayik to be Shabo Baderech. The guy is traveling someplace and is coming to a city full of idolatry. Tfei Odev Shispala Baderech. He should daven him before he comes into town when he's on the road still. Okay, Omen Atzad, some go to the side. Achmen Atzad, since he won't be disturbed, pull over to the side of the road. That's based on a Tshuva from the Shmos Hadeshin, Simon Vov. Sheila Mishu Baderech. Guy's traveling somewhere. Hey, oh, Myron, it's getting late. Right? It's getting dark. Time for mincha. That's why, shachris, you can daven before you leave for the day. Myron, you can daven before you get after you're home for the day. Mincha is at the chop, especially this time of year, right? You have to figure out your schedule to be able to chop mincha. But that was happening here. The Harakar Malone, he was near a hotel, but it was a hotel, an inn, Le'ir Shekula Nachum, a Goyish place. Sheyuchal Agia B'Sham Bodam Godol. He could get there in time, but it's still daylight. But is it better? Maybe he should daven before he gets there in the field, because or not? That's the question. And the For the Sadeshan explains, Yeroi, the Yuchal is talking about Drochum Kol Kach, he should do it if he can get onto the side of the road. Shakar of Adoga Lagam, Shalayova over Drochum Efsigun, so no one will bother him. That's better. Why? Mashi's Bal Malon. Why? Because Mesha Meir, Harbe Gilulim, but they Tuma Yeshbo. Who knows what they, you know, yeah. Even in a private house or private inn, there's all kind of a Vodazara going on. It was going on all the time. I remember there was a, you know, some people may remember this. I don't know, maybe it's still there. I've been there a long time. But in San Francisco, there was a Chinese restaurant. I don't mean a Chinese restaurant, you know, close to Chmuka Bernstein, something like that. I'm talking about the China, or whatever you call it, over here in Teaneck, you know, some kind of a wok or whatever it is, you know, these kosher restaurants. I'm talking about Chinese. It was in Chinatown, but it had a heksher because it was all vegetarian and they didn't use any non-kosher wine. Anyway, so people used to go there. So, and it was a mashkiach, it was very strange. It was a China, and they didn't even have silverware. It was only chopsticks they gave you, you know. But anyway, and it wasn't called chopsticks like here. But anyway, be that as it may, I remember we went there. And it's a funny thing, you're waiting online there and they have like a display of like a glass and case display of souvenirs, whatever it is. And here you are in the middle of this Chinese place, and inside the display case is a Jewish guy to Northern California. Anyway, but I had to go to the bathroom. So they pointed, the bathroom is down the hall. I went down the hall. I saw a woman. She was kneeling in front of, like, there was a little water or something. She had ash. Mama Shavuot Zorah. Mama Shavuot Zorah. So we're not used to it. But anyway, that's what the Shemus HaDeshin writes. It's impossible. So he says, better should be. And he quotes our pasuk that Shemus HaDeshin does. Kitzesius there. Moshe said he had to leave town. Okay. He didn't want to daven in the city. There's so many idols. Anyway, and he says, he says at the very end, he writes, look at the last line of 58. Afki ha'idno kol tfil shalom ha'in baras ha'in baras ha'in baras ha'in. We today in Europe, especially in Europe, we have no choice but to dive in these places. But try and look the other way. Try. Sometimes it comes up. I had the shalom many times. I don't know if it's still like that. But in Holy Name Hospital, there used to be crosses on the wall. There were crosses on the wall. So people asked. I said, if you can take it down and put it in the closet, that's what I think people did. But otherwise, to close your eyes, you face the other direction. Whatever. It's no gayer. Shulchan Aruch the Ramor in Tzadik Dal Hilchos Siftes. Ramor quotes this Shulchan Aruch 59, right. But in any event, what does all this have to do? Right? And that's how the Mishabura, I put in the Tzadi Dalat, Tzivkot, Chavtes. Most of the time, they're arguing around, and it's Tzivkot, Lamed. He said, all right, try and dive into the side, and so on. Okay. Anyway, it could be that form of davening, of with outstretched arms, requires something that we don't have today. We're among the non-Jews. Now you can argue in Eretz Yisrael is different, but we're among non-Jews, and wherever we are, who knows what Avodah Zarah is nearby. Okay, today you could argue we don't have so much Avodah Zarah around, but anyway, that's maybe a different reason why we don't daven with outstretched arms, because that's an enhanced or a superior form of tefillah that we don't do nowadays anymore. Okay, and the reason is because there's Avodah Zarah around. The same reason, and we'll end with this, the same reason another practice that is not done anymore, and it's actually... it comes together in a lot of psukim, kneeling on your knees. Now, we can go back to the Be'er Sheva, the Christians kneel, okay, and the Arabs fall a certain way, and the Muslims, and we don't do any of that stuff. Kneeling is certainly a form of tefillah. Look in 61, Yeshaya Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chav Beis says, P'nu Eilai B'Boshu, right, turn to me, and then you'll be saved, and so on. And Pasuk Chav Gim will be, Nishpati Yotzim, Yitzhaka Dabal Yoshu, Ki Li Ticha Kol Berach Tishova Koloshu. Well, we know that phrase from Elena, right? Let's paraphrase him here. Kili ticha kol berach. All people should kneel, fall on their knees before me. And indeed, Daniel, when he davened, that famous Indian, that Daniel davened when he was in prison. Parak vav, Daniel posigid aleph, this part of Daniel's in Aramaic. The Daniel kad yadi, the rishim ksav ala veser, v'chavim b'shen, and somebody davened towards Yerushalayim. And barach al barkoi u'mutzala. He would get on his knees and he would daven. So we don't do that anymore either. Why not? So the Tshuvas Halachas Tanas, Ram Chagiz, 63, Tshuvas Halachas Tanas, Chelek Aleph, Simon Tzari Dalet, Shela Imuto L'Ispala B'Bricho, can you daven today on you? Can you kneel? So Tshuvah Kol Kama Dekayv Inshu Tila Tfei Mali, in some ways, yes, and so is more submission and so on. And at the time, the Ein Adam Ashai Lipo upon him, okay, move to Chol Shana Kershua, I mean, Tam Zeh Ein Lahater B'Bricho. Okay, you don't do it, Berach. Don't do it nowadays because You know, the Gemara says in Tainus, Tavyud 64. Okay, Rashi explained that it's a pasuk in Yoshua. I didn't print it, but it's a pasuk in Yoshua. And Rashi explains that you're not supposed to sort of talk about the Shliach Tzibur, and what if you're not answered? It'll be an embarrassment and so on, unless you're sure you're going to be embarrassed. Sure you're going to be answered, not going to be embarrassed. Here, guy's going to get down on his knees, get down on my hands and knees, because Baruch is not going to answer. It's embarrassing. I think we get from there, and that's what the Rambam brings also, Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Hei Alach Yudalad. Kishu Ose Nefilas Panav is when you fall tachanun. Different people do different things, but he says we don't do it, okay? For that, we don't do it because, again, we're not sure we're going to be answered. But what do I mean? I think it means the same thing. It's an enhanced form of tefillah. And we can't do that today, either because of a Rezar around us, because it's embarrassing, won't be answered. Same thing, maybe you don't stretch out your hands because Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hear your tefillah. He didn't even accept this enhanced form of tefillah. So it's another possibility. The Shulchan Aruch rules like this in Kuf Lamed Aleph Siv Ches 67. Ain Adam Chosh Vashai Lipo Aponim Kismal Al Tzibor. And, you know, especially davening publicly, Elim Kein Batuch Shani Yehonek Kishu Benun. And I want to say nobody should do it to spread on the floor, especially because it might be stone. That's a different issue, okay, unless you lead to the side. And he writes, by the way, the side point, 67, people have, we fall Korum on Yom Kippur. So we're not on the floor, on a stone floor. Okay, that's, and the question about something that's attached to a stone floor, it's also the same din. When they give out those paper towels or those Korum mats, people think it's to keep your suit clean. Okay, people think, oh, they'll put it by my knees and my pants. I don't get the knees of my pants dirty. That's all it's for. It's your face is not hitting the ground directly. Okay, many people, I put my talus over my face. So my talus is interfering with the chutz. Anyway, so that's the idea of this. Let me Shaburi elaborate. You don't have to go into all of it now. It's Rekuf Lamed Aleph again. Lipo upon Lamed Zayin. There are kita, different types of bowing and pisha the arm of line, spreading your hands all the way down. We're just kneeling. We don't do any of that. Even in Tachanun, we don't do that. We just fall on our side, okay? And certainly when a person davens b'tzibur, you shouldn't do it because if you're not answered, it'll be an embarrassment. And unless you're sure, you'll be answered like Yeshua, like I mentioned before. And he explains this in Cotton Mem, what the background told us about Evan Maskus, you're not allowed to fall on a stone floor, even though they're attached to a stone floor. Okay, we don't need to go into that. But in any event, what I'm saying is kneeling is also no longer done. And maybe what we're suggesting is for the same reason. It's an enhanced or superior form of tefillah. That's why Gemara said you shouldn't do it because even with that superior form of tefillah, you don't get answered. It's a big bizayon. It's a big embarrassment. So therefore, we just don't do it anymore. Even privately, we don't kneel. And maybe you could say the same thing about stretching your hands out. You stretch your hands out of tefillah and you're not answered. It's an enhanced form of tefillah, so we don't do it. So there's Tayotz Midvareinu. Despite the fact that in our parsha it's clear that Moshe davened with outstretched arm, we saw quite a number of other places, where they had it, but for a number of different possible reasons, it's no longer in vogue today. Rabbi Kivege, asked about it. He said, send you to the Beersheba. So we saw Rabbeinu Parachi said it's some form of gaiva. We had different interpretations. Beersheba said it's because the Goyim had adopted that practice, so we don't do it anymore. The Prima Godim says that because our hands aren't clean from murder, or at least from Gezel. We saw in the Zohar, perhaps, it's a dangerous thing to stick your hands when you're not davening, so better not do it anytime. Again, maybe that ties into the Gaiva reason. Yaakov Kamenetsky, again, I didn't see the side, but I heard in his name, we're not on a level where we're willing to take anything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends our way and so on. And finally, perhaps it's this enhanced form of tefillah. We don't daven with the place of Odazar, but today we have no choice. But you shouldn't stretch out your hands. It's an enhanced form of tefillah. So just like that fell out of use, or kneeling fell out of use, so this also fell out of use. So that's not the practice anymore today. And it doesn't mean it's also once in a while to take up your hands, but that's not the way. We don't stand davening with outstretched arms as they once did. Okay, we'll stop over here. Wish everybody a good Shabbos.